Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to The Hard Worker with Pete, the Job Guy Langlois. If you're looking for a job or looking for any kind of candidates, this is the show you need to hear. So tune in now, of course, and every Sunday morning at 8 to answer any questions you might have about jobs, because this is your show. This expert show is your guide to everything jobs. This is a place where you can hear about new job opportunities and get free extensive career advice from local business leaders themselves. The staffing industry's leading authority, Pete, the Job Guy Langlois, explores the failures and successes behind Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And he does it while discussing hot workplace issues with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers out there. Wow, another Sunday morning. You had your cup of coffee, you put the dogs out, and you are making the best decision you can on a Sunday morning at 8 a.m., and that is listening to me, Pete the Job Guy, on our show, Hard Worker. And each week we share nuggets, words of wisdom. We tell you about some things that have happened to us in the workforce, good, bad, successes, failures, to help you avoid the failures and help you to be more consistent, more effective, more productive, and all that other great stuff. And we're glad you're here. Take a few notes. Do something differently as a result of the time you spend listening to the show this morning, and you'll be the better for it. Now, I had a friend reach out to me this week. It's interesting. He said, Pete, you know, it's kind of funny. I was searching through the archives of the Town Crier, which was our newspaper, a local newspaper up by Tewksbury in Wilmington, Massachusetts. And he said, I put your name in just to see what came up. And it's so funny. Do you know you almost cost your team, your football team, the game, because you threw a very costly interception, and it was on Thanksgiving Day way back in our senior year. That was kind of funny, isn't it? You know, no, it wasn't kind of funny. No, that's not funny. That's a painful memory. That's something that I want to put in a box, tie it up, seal it, and never open it up ever again. Because I remember that moment. I still feel the pain. Wilmington, we kicked the ball off to Wilmington. They received the ball. I made the tackle on the guy that was carrying the ball. And I remember how cold it was that day. And up in Massachusetts, it's cold. It's crazy. It's a biting, stinging, below zero cold. And it was freezing for a couple of days. And then that day, that morning, the sun came out. And it came out, and it was hot enough that it melted a fresh layer of mud on top of the frozen, icy ground underneath, this tundra that was underneath this layer of mud, this thin layer of mud. So I make the tackle, and my hand, you know, I landed on my right hand, which incidentally is my throwing hand, making that tackle. My hand was killing me. Well, a couple plays later, we're out. Now, I'm the second string quarterback in high school because Jeff Vecchi was awesome. He never got hurt. I don't think I ever played a down as quarterback my whole 3 years. We had a three-year high school. I on JV, I played here and there, but that was it. But I passed the torch to Jeff, because hands down a better quarterback than me. But we had this play, okay, that we developed specifically, a trick play, and Coach Aylward called it the counter crisscross pitch pass, and we perfected it in practice. Matter of fact, 100% of the time we connected in practice, even though the defense knew it was coming. And it was one of these weird trick plays where I came out of defense, you know, and they put me on offense, and I line up, I split left like I'm some kind of wide receiver. Vecchi, he takes the snap, he pitches it to a guy who's running the other direction, so it looks like a reverse. Well, then I get a pitch from him, and I throw it to the tight end who's wide open every time. He released on the right side, and he just goes right along down the edge of the sideline, and I throw it 45 yards, big bomb. 100% of the time, we completed it in practice. Well, going back to that cold morning, and my awful hand covered with mud that I landed on, and it's freezing cold, and I was never that effective in extreme cold weather anyway. But add on top of that this layer of mud, and you know, and I remember I came off the field, and just as I came off defense and got to the sideline, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to try to warm up and get my hand warm because he's going to call that play later. Well, the coach runs over to me and says, Crane, And my nickname was Crane. I had really skinny legs, and there was already a guy with skinny legs a year above me who was called the Stork, Storka, Danny Monroe, and I'm the Crane. So he says, Crane, are you ready to throw it? Are you ready to do it? And I said, yeah, because get in there, get in. So our first play, counter crisscross pitch pack and pass, and I'm over here with this hand that looks like I have a catcher's mitt of mud on it, and but I want to do it. I want to be the guy, and 100% of the time in practice, we did it. Well, they call the play. And it sets up perfect. The Vecchi comes in, he pitches it to Tommy O'Brien. The defense is screaming, reverse, reverse. Well, then he pitches it back to me. I'm deep in the backfield, and Andy Fleury releases, and he's wide open. Nobody's near him because they thought reverse, and even the defensive secondary responded to it, and he's right there. And I throw that ball, and it went about 30 yards straight up in the air. That's about it. Maybe 15 yards forward in the direction of Fleury, but it went up and it fluttered like a big old duck and it landed right in their hands and they intercepted it. It's terrible. Now, I'm going to bring that into the theme of the show, but I'm going to tell you. Yeah, yes, thank you, my friend, for reminding me about that play and letting me know that it's forever memorialized in a newspaper article that can be researched, archived, and read again for the masses. That was a terrible memory. But today I want to talk about teamwork and my team. That's the great thing about playing some team sports is the individual. You can have great individual experience, great individual contributions on a team sport, but still lose because your team isn't good enough to win or didn't play well enough to win on a particular day. Well, I had a great team, and we had a sense of mission. And even if the star players on the team didn't have a good day, we weren't dependent on that because the entire team knew our sense of mission. And we worked together well as a team, well enough to go on and win our Super Bowl in the previous year. But that year, we were still Merrimack Valley Conference champions as we were each year because we had a great team. We had a wonderful coach. We had clear direction. We practiced. We had a plan. We went out and executed our plan every week with that teamwork sense of mission. Now, today, with me, as always, I have the original hard worker, Alex Stuckey, and I also have the world-famous Aaron Mills with us today. And we're going to talk to you about, in the workforce, certain experiences we've had as individual contributors and in a teamwork environment. And we also have a great guest with us today. And our guest is Chris Chula. And I'll be introducing him in just a little bit in his We Culture. He's an author and he's the founder of We Culture. And we'll talk about what that is in a minute. All right. But before we go to Chris, let's go to the original hard worker, Alex Stuckey. Alex, can you share with me a time where either you've been a member of or you've put together a highly functioning team, a group of people that shared a common goal and they were able to get it done?
So at Firefighters, one of the things that we did was after we started was to try to build a bigger team, right?
So
I went out and hunted down entrepreneurs like Nathan Idlett, and who was quite capable of starting his own business and putting it together, but bringing him in to kind of the safety of a team. Because being an entrepreneur, there's a lot of risk involved in that. And one of the things that I looked for in building a team was to find entrepreneurs, but that needed a little safety net. And mm-hmm. Nathan was a perfect kind of guy. And we ended up building five people in five different divisions like that of entrepreneurs.
And firefighters is a business. You know, guys, a lot of times people, we go through our lives as we're cogs in a bigger machine, okay? Alex is the machine, okay? Alex put all the cogs together to build a machine. Alex, firefighters, how big did it get? And like, remember, you were the original, the only guy. You were founder, owner, started the business from nothing. How big did you build it before you ended up selling it?
Right. So, you're exactly right. We started out, it was just me, and did it all. And the one thing that people don't understand is when you have a small business, and let's just call it a small business, when you have a person, it's the same as when you're running, like now, we're running a several $100 million business with 60 offices. Every single function has to be done.
Right.
Right. You got, whether you're a one-person team, or in our case now, you're thousands of people on a team, it every single function has to be done. So there's accounts payable, account receivable, going out and doing the physical work, putting it all together. So that's kind of a misnomer when people think that because you're a small business, you don't have all the same functions.
All right, everything's scalable.
That's right. And so what the key was is to build it from day one like it was going to get to be $1 billion, right? And so everybody we hired and everybody we looked at along the way was built with that in mind, that planning and preparation of growing to $1 billion. And today, even with our company now, we're constantly looking to build something that's scalable and sustainable. And so we're building teams now.
Right.
And trying to align compensation plans to make everybody aligned on that.
And, you know, when we, you know, Alex and I travel across the United States, all these different branch offices, and whether there's two people in an office or 20 people in an office or more, everything is scalable. The motions you go through have to be executed. And in order for the big machine to work, mm-hmm. and that's just the way it is. You know, and what I'd like to do now is bring in the author of We Culture. He's the founder of the We Culture movement. His name is Chris Chula. Chris Chula, he comes to it. We're not big enough yet to get Chris to get in an airplane and fly on down and sit across from us, but he's joining us from up in New Jersey, New York City area. Chris, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. How are you doing this Sunday morning?
I'm great. It's a great Sunday. Thanks for having me, Pete.
I'm happy that you've made the time. Thank you for doing that. I know you're a busy person. Chris, tell us a little bit about what is We Culture?
So We Culture is a process to help people engage and empower teams to drive results. And the basic premise is that you leverage common core values to evaluate talent, attract great talent, and help your teams focus on common goals.
All right. Now, core values is something I know in business that sometimes life and business gets in the way, right? You join a team and there's people with different core values and they're clashing values, or the business doesn't seem to even identify their core values. And it seems like you go in with a mentality, but life can be a little bit of a meat grinder. You go in one way, you get ground up, and you come out the other way. You know, does your We Culture help you to identify these core values and maybe even establish them if you haven't as a business before, even as an individual?
It absolutely does, Pete. You know, core values are a secret success to any business, right? And if people share the same core values, they tend to work together really well. So in We Culture, we have three common core values that we established, and they were pedal the bike, be positive, and be honest and ethical. And what we're really looking for people to do is to use them to govern their behavior. And as we evaluate talent coming in, we're looking to see if the people coming into the organization share those core values, and we're actually using it as a qualifier, disqualifier, so that thing about life being a meat grinder and things getting in the way, that we don't bring the wrong people onto the team.
You know, what are some of the things you look for? For me, I always had a DIP rating, all right, for what I look for in people. Because, you know, my background is, you know, running staffing companies and running sales culture. I look for DIP, drive, intellect, and presentation. Are they driven? Are they motivated? Competitive? Who was it? It was Lee Holtz years ago said, you know, how do you motivate people? He said, how do I motivate people? I fire the unmotivated ones. Right? And the rest handles itself. Intellect, I'm not looking for the smartest person in the room, but they have to be reasonably intelligent and have to be able to think and speak on their feet, right? And presentation, you have to, you know, I'm not talking about it's a modeling contest. When I say presentation, I'm looking for somebody that can think and speak on their feet. They can present well to a small group, a big group, or to an individual, be able to communicate the features and benefits of the goods and services that they're selling. What do you look for in a We Culture environment?
So we help our company, our client companies establish those core competencies, because that's what you're really talking about.
Right.
But in the book, we talk about the four that we have. We have intelligence, your ability to process information; communication skills, your ability to convey thoughts and understand thoughts that are conveyed to you; thought process is the ability to think on your feet under pressure.
Yeah.
And then we take a look at drive. And you're absolutely right. Me and you share these things in common. You can't teach people to want to win. And then we have a thought process and methodology on how to measure that throughout someone's career or their academic career if they're new to business.
So well said. And I can hear your passion and enthusiasm. These just aren't words to you. These are your core values as well. How did you, Chris Chula, come to this moment in life where, you know what, I have to write this. I have to put this together. You know, how did you arrive at this?
Well, Pete, you know, I'm not ashamed to say it started with a point of failure. I worked for a big publicly traded company, and I got absorbed into that corporate culture, climb the ladder mentality, where they didn't have established core values, and I lost my way against my own core values. And after 9 years of doing that, I decided after I left, I took a break, and I wrote down my three core values, which are the three that I stated before: pedal the bike, be positive, be honest and ethical. And I swore to myself I'd never stray from those again. And after I implemented We Culture in another organization, someone said to me, Chris, you should write a book. And then somebody said it again, and then I said, you know what? I have content. I want to share this with the world. And I wrote a book and got a publisher, and we published it.
Chris, this is Alex. I tell you what, that really resonated with me, because in both of my most successful times, it came after a failure and or a termination, right? I told the story before about working at the Barnett Bank, which was a large, you know, public company, and they fired my mentor, and shortly thereafter, I quit and left to go into the fire protection business, because I wanted to work for a place where there was loyalty, right? And he had been there for 50 years, and there wasn't any cultural loyalty. So when I built Firefighters, it was about, you'll never get fired, you'll never get terminated, you'll never have a cut in pay if you come and bring it every single day. Didn't mean we didn't fire people or cut people loose, but you were safe, and you had a secure environment, and knew that the company wasn't going to be disloyal to you.
Right. Right, right. Chris, big question here. You know, what's changed? What's changed nowadays about how companies and the workforce needs to engage each other?
Well, Peter, you know, our generation, right? We were told by our parents, you know, hard worker, right?
Right.
Go to work for a big company. Be quiet, do as you're told, climb the corporate ladder, right?
And then maybe one day we can work our way up into middle management. Don't make any waves, just go out there, hard work, keep your nose to the grindstone, and one day I can go out and be a middle manager somewhere and, you know, maybe do okay, right?
Absolutely, but things have changed. Now millennials are coming into the workforce, and the way they're motivated is different. Their value set is to be part of the greater good, the success of the team, a little bit more collectivism, right? So if their motivation has changed, I find that a lot of leaders from our generation say that they don't get it. And it's just the exact opposite. The people who are saying that millennials don't get it are wrong. What we have to do is adapt our management styles and how we lead to address their concerns. They're going to be the majority of the workforce by 2020. So we have to find ways to inspire and motivate them to get the best talent that they have available. The very talented, intelligent, and hardworking people. We just have to find a way to tap into the talent and motivate them, and that's what We Culture is all about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you're preaching to the choir right now, I'm telling you, because this is exactly, I mean, these are the things that, you know, running a business like I do and like some other people, these are the challenges that I face every day. And I know the listeners, everybody that's listening to this program right now, whatever your station is in the workforce, you're relating to what Chris is saying, because he's telling your story. Chris, how does We Culture help organizations drive results?
It's really about getting people focused on everyday behaviors that help each other win, right? And it's about peer-level accountability to the core values. Once you have that mindset in place, and people are all working in the same direction towards that common goal, there's really not a lot that can't be accomplished, right? Think of all the impossible things throughout history that happened because people focused on the common goal and then just did the test to get there. Like 100 years ago, 150 years ago, if we said we could fly, we probably would have been, you know, burned at the stake. But now we hop on an airplane like it's a city bus every day. We look down at our iPhones, don't even think about it.
Right.
Right? That's because two people thought they can, And they sat there and laid it out and did the tests and solved the little problems along the way that got them to that common goal.
That is all spot on. It's funny because we had the Best Places to Work award like 4 years in a row. And when they came to interview us and they said, you know, how do you get this? How do you get all these people motivated to give you this Best Places to Work award? And, you know, they asked the common questions. Do y'all have like Massage Friday? No. Do y'all have casual work week? No. Do you have in-house daycare or in-house hospital? No. Then what do? We teach people exactly where the company's going and how it's going to get there and what our core values are, and everybody understands exactly where they fit into that environment. And so because they know and because it's in their heart, they understand it, they bought into the system, they're all rowing the same way every day, and they know when they come to work that place is better off when they left than when they arrived that day. And that culture is what drove our company to be successful.
Oh, wonderful story. And Chris, Alex touched on something here right now. Unemployment, as we know, is at an all-time low. Everybody's working. Everybody has jobs. This is, you know, very, very low unemployment rate. How does we culture fit in? If I'm trying to attract and retain folks, does we culture help organizations to attract the folks, number one, and also retain them?
It's a great question, Pete. And, you know, attraction is a big part of what we culture is, because we don't keep our core values a secret. We actually advertise what our core values are. And then we, through social media, display our core values out in the open so that people can see it. So then when we're hiring, people not only see that we have a good job, they also see that we have a good culture. And then it actually attracts the people. People say, we state the core values as we're on social media. People see those core values, and the people who share them are not only attracted to our job, but they're attracted to our common core values. And then it's reinforced through retention, because if we truly practice them and those people share those core values, then it becomes the thing that makes them stay besides a paycheck.
This is a great program. Everything you've said is very interesting, and I'm sure people are going to want to know, how can we get more information? How can we get in touch with you or learn more about We Culture? Let's hear your contact information.
Sure. You can book on weincludesyou.com, or you can buy a copy of We Culture on Amazon, and you'll have all my contact information on We Includes You. And anytime somebody orders the book, if they like it, they can talk with me about it. If they decide to read it with their team, I also do author reviews over webcasts or in person if it's in a local market to help them establish We Culture through an organization.
Very good. Chris Chula, founder and author of We Culture, we thank you for joining Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Awesome. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You do the same, Chris. And now it's time to get a little news update, traffic, weather, all that good stuff, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, all you hard workers, for round two this morning. And we're glad you're here joining us. You know, as always, with me in the studio, I have the original hard worker, Alex Stuckey, and the world-famous Aaron Mills. Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right. Now, guys, I want to make sure you know, if you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me, pete@petethejobguy.com. If you want to nominate somebody, so you want to tell me somebody is a hard worker, they go the extra mile, maybe they come in early, stay a little bit late, and they're working at a faster pace than the rest of the people at the office, or if you're out turning wrenches or whatever you're doing, if there's a hard worker there, just send me a note and say, this guy Alex is phenomenal, he's a great hard worker, this is what he does, and I'll make sure that person gets a certified hard worker Pete the Job Guy t-shirt. And these are great t-shirts. They're black and white, they're logoed, they fit well, I promise you that. But I only want certified hard workers to represent Pete the Job Guy and wear that shirt. Okay? If you want to work with me, if you need good qualified candidates, whether you need one or you need 100, you can reach out to me. I can find them. There hasn't been a candidate genocide. They're out there. I just know where to get them. I have the software, and I have the best recruiters around. I have 60 offices nationwide, and I'm telling you what, if you need it, I can find it. I promise you that. You just reach out to me. You can either send me the email at pete@petethejobguy.com, or you can call me at my SNI office here in Jacksonville, 904-713-2000. 2550. Whether you need medical transcription services or if you need a technology professional, developers, infrastructure people, we have those. If you're looking for office, clerical, administrative, we have people that only place those types of people. In each division, they're specialists, right? They're not generalist provider, always specialists. Accounting and finance on a temporary or permanent basis. Or you need banking. Even we have SNI banking. We have divisions of people that swim in very narrow vertical markets. And I promise you, if it's out there, we can find it, whether it's temporary or direct hire. 904-713-2550 is the number. Guys, the first segment we just heard from Chris Chula. Chris told us all about we culture and creating core values and building teams and networks that will help you to attract and retain some of the area's top talent. Now, the world famous Alex Stuckey, I know Alex, we were talking about how, I mean, that was pretty powerful stuff he said. And what are some of the, you know, either your takeaways or something that impacted you that you want to talk about?
Yeah, you know what? I said earlier, it really resonated with me what he said. And one of the things is, just because you're not selected for a job doesn't mean that you're not a great fit somewhere.
Right.
You just might not be a great fit here. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that was one of the things we talked about at Firefighters. It's one of the things that resonates throughout GEE Group is you may be fantastic recruiter. You may be a fantastic salesperson. You may have all the right skills and qualifications, but you may not be a good culture fit here because we really look for entrepreneurs, people that will thrive on their own. They're independent thinkers. They can go out and do the work. We're not looking for just a typical corporate type person. We're looking for that entrepreneur that can come bring value in addition to doing the work.
Right, right. And you know, no matter what you do, the skill sets change. Like what you're looking for in maybe to fulfilling an accounts receivable role might look different than somebody that's in sales or somebody that's in a blue collar position. The skill sets are different, but I'm going to tell you what, if you can't work with a team, it's tough. There's not a lot of what we call mushroom positions. You know, mushrooms grow in the dark. They don't need a whole lot of anything. They don't need sunlight. They're not photosynthesizing and all that. They can go in IT we call them mushroom coders. If they speak better to machines than they do to people, they go work by themselves. You know, it's not a good thing to say. But most companies are looking for people that can get along with other people, not just get along, that can thrive in a teamwork environment. Guys, if you don't have that skill set, if you heard what Chris said, when he got away from his core values, it's great that he got introspective. You know, when as Alex says, you can't have a comeback unless you have a setback. And when Chris was saying that, you know, he changed jobs after many years, and he had to look inside, you know, shine the mirror on himself, and he says, you know what? I got away from my core values and who I am as a person, and he wrote things down, and he was able to change it. I think all of us have to say, and we have to be honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, in the morning, am I a little abrasive? Okay. Or, you know what, maybe there's someone at my office that I can get a little snippy with. You know, is that controllable? Maybe I need to go outside and take a walk, take a breather, you know, just relax for a second. But you have to shine that mirror on yourself. And you have to say, you know, is it me? You know, and then you can make some changes. I like the way Chris, you know, he took notes and he put a plan of action together. What a great way to do it. Guys, we're going to take, you know what? Let's do this. Let's go over to the world famous Aaron Mills with Jack's Facts. Woo!
Okay, you guys, this is going to be a good one. Are you ready? So did you know that in the early 1900s, the ostrich farm, ostrich farm, located on what's now the South Bank of downtown, was the biggest tourist draw? Can you imagine seeing those ginormous birds just peeking their heads out of the
window? Oh!
Yay! So I'm Aaron Mills, and that has been your Jack's Facts.
Who would have guessed it? The biggest draw to Jacksonville, Florida. You know, it's the ostrich farm. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that
Aaron,
crazy?
Yeah, that's...
Do you know how big their eggs are?
How big?
It's probably bigger than your head, and you have a pretty big.
I have a big melon. I mean, that would be a substantial egg.
It's a big egg. Right? Actually, there's somewhere I need to look it up, but there's somewhere where they cook an ostrich egg for you for breakfast.
And that would be a heck of a breakfast.
It's like equivalent to like 16 eggs.
Do they call it balut?
I'm not going to talk about balut on the
What is balut? Can you tell us?
Okay, so
and you can share where you're from and your background if everybody doesn't know.
Well, my family is from the Philippines, but I was born here in Jacksonville, and they love this thing. It's a delicacy there, and if you go, you got to try it apparently. And it's a duck, a fermented duck, an egg, but it's not alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell it on the street, and there's a balut guy, and he'll have it in his little car, and I remember staying in the Philippines, and I would wake up to an alarm by the balut guy, and he'd go, balut!
Balut!
And so, yep, it's just a fermented duck egg, and people eat it.
When I hear fermented an egg, okay, in the same mm-hmm. kind of, that's describing mm-hmm. the egg.
Yeah.
I'm conjuring up this, like, smell that blows sulfur away. This cannot smell good.
I actually don't know how it smells because I'm not truly Filipino and I haven't eaten
Oh! Oh, you just admitted it right
here. On live radio.
Oh, my God.
Well, from Lake City,
eat
the pickled eggs and the pickled pig feet. So they come in a jar. So is that kind of the same thing?
Yummy.
All right. We're going to go to the Pete the Job Guy mailbag right now, guys. And I want to encourage anybody that has a workforce issue, something you want to talk about. You want to complain, I got a tough boss, or I have an overbearing coworker, or someone's showing up late. How do I address this? Okay. And I have one from Sandra in Orange Park. And I'm going to tell you right now, her name is not Sandra. Okay. She is from Orange Park, but I'm not using her name. And her email says, Pete, my coworker smells foul. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because this person was pretty descriptive. I'll say it's in a white collar environment. And in the office, this person smells. And the way that it's worded, okay, and I'm not going to get into too much detail, it's a choice and it's a hygiene issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, like, how do I handle this? And, you know, Alex, I'm going to throw it right to you. All right, let's talk about it.
Sure.
And let's arrive at what the best.
So I've had this exact thing happen.
And you were the one, right?
Yeah, I was the one. That's right, yeah. And it was earlier today. And you called me out on it.
I'm sorry. You know, that was my best course of action. Say, Alex, you smell.
Yeah.
And we talked it out. We hugged it out later after we put deodorant on. We were fine. But go ahead.
So I've had it happen twice in my career. Once as an entrepreneur when I owned and ran the company. And the other in a very white-collar, button-down, publicly traded company. So it was a little different how both of them were handled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it had the same result. You know, the first time
okay, Sandra. Now, let's picture you're Sandra mm-hmm. in Orange Park.
Yep.
The person that's in a closed environment yep. close to you mm-hmm. Smells offensively. And in the way she's describing it, again, by choice, not a person.
Do you know if it's a small company or if it's a large company?
I didn't talk to her directly, and I will talk to her directly. I will reply.
Because both of these cases that I dealt with, it was in, you know, like I said, in two different kinds of situations. In the small company mm-hmm. environment, I just went up to him and had a conversation,
yeah.
right?
But you were the boss.
I was the boss, right?
She's not the boss.
That's right.
Okay.
And so the second was different. It was in a big public company. I was not the boss. I was just a boss, right? And somebody came and complained to me and said, this person that I work with, they smell. It's the same situation mm-hmm. as Sandra's situation. And so what we did is, because it was a big environment, we went to HR and had a talk with them, and they actually brought the person in and had a hygiene discussion and talked about, you know, some of the policies that they had and things that had to happen and occur mm-hmm. on a regular basis so that you don't offend other people. And so if it's a bigger company, I would suggest you do go to your HR professional because they're trained to deal with
they
this
understand.
And to not be offensive
mm-hmm.
and they're really good at it. And you
right.
know, inside of our company, they're fantastic.
Bro, the answer is involve human resources. Whether you go directly to your supervisor, you go to human resources, Alex is dead right on, spot on. That's the way to do it. It's a sensitive subject, and the way you address it, I mean, you know, I don't personally get it involved in something like that. If I'm a coworker, I wouldn't say this. Some things I would, hey, you talk a little bit loud, and it, you know, it's hard for me to hear. If you talk, could you turn your music down, please? You know, let's
They're
be respectful of each other.
Yeah.
That's usually, usually comes at me. But I'll tell you, you know, involving human resources, you can never go wrong with that. And I know that as a business leader, if I do something that offends anybody, I would want them to go to human resources. I would want it to be brought to my attention so that we can fix it. Mm-hmm. Going back to the story today, it's all, you know, teamwork, creating highly functional teams. But sometimes individual contributors, you know, at their roles, like I talked about team sports before. One of them was football, you know, and I told my whole story about I threw the bad pass, but my team was so good that the individual contributor, even if you count on that person to produce, if the team functions well, you can still be very, very successful. Now, when I wrestled, I was part of a team, but I was a very individual contributorship type of a role. But here's one, okay? When I worked at a big company, and I worked so hard, my performance was top-notch. As a matter of fact, I was recognized as number one in the world for my performance and what I did. And I was so proud because there were over 10,000 employees, and I worked really hard to get it. But when I walked up on stage and shook the chairman's hand for being number one, and instead of being all my peers cheering me on, I could feel the daggers hit me in the back all the way as I'm walking up to shake his hand. They weren't happy for me. They were resentful that I took something of theirs, you know? I think there's a happy medium where, you know, you can inspire the individual to do the best, but at the same time, you want to have a group of individuals just like that working towards a common goal.
Yeah, I believe that's always the case. There's always going to be that tendency to be jealous of the people at the top, and there's always the excuses as to why they didn't make it, right? And so that resentment builds up because it's like you said earlier, right? They need to be looking in the mirror,
right?
Because they didn't do that one extra thing that could have gotten them over that hurdle, so they were walking up
so
there.
So then they throw the knife
in
my back.
So they're going to throw the knife
at you.
That's it. That's exactly right.
Well, guys, you know what? I think right now it's very important that we acknowledge something. Yesterday was a very, very important day. The world famous Erin Mills had her birthday. Happy
Yay.
Birthday to you. Erin, how old are you? How
Do
old
we
are you?
Talk about
Come
this?
On, yes, you're gonna talk about it, and then you get to open this card that we got you.
Fun.
So
I turned 25.
Oh my gosh, 25.
I don't know how I'm awake right now. So I have to read this.
Oh, you don't have to read it.
Yeah, you got to read the entire inscription out loud.
We got you a little card, a little something in there to do it because.
Yeah. I see.
Wow.
I can speak the same language. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're welcome.
I wish I could have used this last night.
Yes.
Woo, mom
what were you
friend.
Doing last night? Gambling?
No. No, I was out with my mom friends. We're called the Mom Squad.
Okay.
Or that's what we dub ourselves.
Yep,
and
yep.
So, you know, moms like to have fun too.
So when you reflect over this, you know, here it is,
yeah.
quarter of a century, you know, what are you most proud of?
I think
you made a perfect baby, right?
Oh, she's wonderful. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I look at her and I'm like, wow, how did I do that?
Yeah.
So yes, making a perfect baby, having a great husband, and I was gonna relate that back to a teamwork. It's not easy raising a kid, and you know, it takes a team, it takes communication. But going back to my reflection, I was reflecting on what I have done for people, and you know, I feel like I haven't done enough. And I did go to the Philippines, I did a lot of anti-human trafficking work, and I did that throughout my college career. And now I think I want to get back into it. And so a way that I think I'm going to do it is I'm going to do a capsule wardrobe.
Oh, you know I've heard is, something.
Alex? No idea.
Oh, I know something about this. It really severely limits the amount of clothing you have, right?
Well,
how does that work?
So because I turned 25, I wanted to do, and I just launched this yesterday, but I wanted to live off of, for a year, 25 pieces of clothing. And as a woman, you know, that's a very hard task.
Does that entirety of your wardrobe
yeah,
without
so,
getting too personal?
No. So, yes, a lot of people ask about undergarments. No, I'm not including that.
Okay.
And
goes
obviously
back
not
to,
shoes. Tanya couldn't live off like 125
exactly.
pair of shoes.
Exactly. I'm keeping my shoes. I'm sorry. But there are some people who do include their shoes in their wardrobe, but I'm just doing pieces of clothing.
Okay.
And the reason behind it is because I would like to be ethically conscious about what I'm consuming. You know, in America, we're big consumers. And the reason behind that is because so a lot of other countries are forcing children into labor to creating the things that we use, from our phones down to our clothes.
Oh, wow.
Down to, yeah, so a lot of things. And I want to be ethically conscious about that. And so this is my way of contributing. And that's through purchasing ethically conscious clothing and also donating clothes that I do have to people in need. So
you have to, when you're saying ethically conscious purchasing, you have to know the origin of the clothing that you're choosing to purchase. Mm-hmm. 25 pieces of clothing only. That can be, what about seasonal? Are you rotating? Is it a rotating 25?
Yeah. So I plan to, it's always going to be 25 at one time. So if I need to switch out something, because, you know, it doesn't really get cold in Florida until like December. So when December comes, I'll go ahead and switch out, I don't know, a pair of shorts that I might save for a pair of pants.
Okay.
But at that point, I'll still have 25 pieces of clothing.
Do you know, I can tell you an ancillary benefit of that is in the Langlois household, the president and CEO of the Langlois household is Angie Langlois, okay?
Angie,
I told her, you know what, I'm going to sort out my closet the other day. And my closet isn't my closet. My closet hasn't been my closet in years, okay? Because her closet is so jam-packed, you don't need hangers. I mean, it's everything's so wedged in there that it'll stay up.
Yeah.
Now, my closet is like that, and I might only have 25 total shirts that need to be hung up at, or pants and all. That's all I have. But yet still, mine I have to, you know, I have to reach in with my fingers and pull two things apart just to slide something in there.
Oh,
and I guarantee
gosh.
I don't need a hanger, you know? And that's just the way it is. So an ancillary benefit at the Langlois household, if she goes to 25...
Yeah.
I get a ton of closet space.
Oh, beautiful.
I didn't even think about that.
You can make that your studio.
What do we do with the clothes? What, I donate them? Is that part of it too?
Yeah, so I was just looking into a couple of different charities that are, so don't be fooled. A lot of charities, unnamed, are not ethically working to the standards of what they're supposed to. So I did a couple, and I'll go ahead and just post it through your social media, the social media.
Oh, my soul. Hey, hang on for just a second. Alex Stuckey is doing push-ups in the studio right now. We got to put a... What are you doing? You're going to be breathing heavy.
No, I'm in such good shape.
He just did 25 push-ups while we're talking. I don't know what his deal
never,
is.
Never crack a hot breath.
Look at he's All right. See? It's good. You're supposed to be on the radio. You're doing push-ups.
Not even a deep breath.
It's amazing. All
so
right.
Fit.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. We're
going to
put it on the social media, the
social
Twitter, the Insta,
media.
The Facebook.
Yeah. All but a couple that come to mind would be soulsforsouls.org. It's where you can give away your used shoes. That's souls, like the bottom of your feet, mm-hmm. four, the number four, souls, as in your human.
Yep.
Esque.org.
Human-esque.
It's what makes you human, is you have a soul.
There you go. Very good.
And the other one is dressforsuccess.org. This is for women. And then careergear.org is for men. So you can donate professional clothing. And I know I have a lot of professional clothing.
Oh, very good.
So
and I know I have some that I could I could kind of lighten what I have a little bit. Aaron, you know what would be great right now? Is if we could get the world-famous Aaron Mills to give us the J-O-B job report.
Yay! Okay, I'm Aaron Mills, and this is your J-O-B report. According to Wall Street Journal, the unemployment rate, 3.9%, fell back below 4% in July. Another 105,000 people joined the civilian labor force in July, but that was not nearly exactly matched by the increase in Americans reporting they are not in the labor force. And back to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is still sitting at 3.7%, shooting back up after many months at being at 3.1 or 3.2%. I'm Erin Mills, and this is your J-O-B report.
Woo-hoo! Thank you very much. Aaron? So we've had a great show, I think, so far. I loved hearing from Chris Chula. I mean, it's a very unique philosophy that he has about, you know, kind of putting together this we culture and creating these great, highly functioning teams. I thought that was fantastic. But one thing, you know, and Alex, what was the deal with the push-up? What were you doing?
And that's why I've got to give away my clothes, because now I'm so thin that they're falling off of me.
I got to tell the story, because Alex, right, Alex, you know, says, you know, I got to lose some weight. I'm 205 pounds, and, you know, and he's heavy. And he was heavy, and Alex says, you know, hey, can you know, work out with me some? This is like little executive gym that's over here at the concourse, and we started together, and we went every side. We started slowly, you know, we got on the treadmill, and said, let's get the heart rate up to about, 120. I didn't want to go too fast.
Now he's just walking.
Yeah, it was just walking, you know, and it's like we took baby steps, but Alex stuck with it. He changed his whole diet. He's down. I can look at him. You're down 25 pounds already. Changed it all. Do you feel better?
Ah, fantastic.
You look better. I can tell in your face. You're changing.
Another 10 more to go.
Yeah. There you go. Now if there's something you could do about just being plain ugly.
I was going to go to Ponte Vedra Plastic Surgery and see if they could, like, do one of those face
off
things.
No, they'd say, you go now. You got to, you know.
I was going to say, hey, can I put that face on this guy?
Oh, good. No, but seriously, that journey and transformation, that you're looking good. Do you exercise, Aaron, at all?
In my head.
In your head?
25. Just kinda... Come on. It's like when we had Preston in here. You don't need that.
You're 25.
In my head.
You know, going back to the teamwork, I'm going to tie it all right in here as we're kind of getting down to wind it up. One thing I'm very, very proud of is I've always, if I look at one thing as a leader that I've been good at is building teams, is identifying the right folks, putting the combination together, and surrounding myself with some of the best and brightest. The only way I've been able to accomplish what I have, and you know, I've accomplished a lot of my professional goals, is by, as a leader, attracting, training, and retaining people that have the basic skill sets that I look for. Even if you're a piece of clay and I gotta mold you and shape you, I'm gonna do it if I see the basics within you.
Well, you know, one of the books that I read that I really took to heart was Team of Teams by General McChrystal, and it talked about, you know, how they transformed the entire government under his direction back during the Al-Qaeda in Iraq war.
Yep.
And how it went from siloed, everybody in their little silo, to really building a total team. And so I thought that book was just amazing, and it ties right in. And maybe we can talk about that on the next show.
Yeah. I think
we can get General McChrystal to call in.
You think he'd come in?
Maybe.
Or Billy Crystal. Or Swarovski Crystal. Just anybody that has ever touched Crystal, come
or
on in here.
Crystal.
Guys, I want to make sure you know that, you know, I mentioned it earlier. I want to make sure if you've got a hard worker anywhere near you, I want to make sure they get to represent the Pete the Job Guy, and they wear a certified hard worker T-shirt. And I will send it to them, and we have a little certificate that goes along with it that you are a certified hard worker. All you have to do is write to Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com. And anytime you want to listen to the show, I know we have a lot of people. Last week, we had callers from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. We had people from everywhere. We got a lot of folks that aren't able, they're not in our area, to listen to 104.5. So you can always go to WOKV and click the Listen Now button, and you can have live streaming and call in. So, if you don't know about that, you know about it now. Tell your friends, family, anybody that's not within the great 904. And I think we're right about at that time right now, where I want to thank Chris Chula for joining us from up in New York City, New Jersey area. It was great to have him on. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, the original hard worker, Alex Stuckey, and the world-famous Aaron Mills. This is Pete the Job Guy on Hard Worker, telling all you hard workers to go out there, have a fantastic week, and do your hustle!